My guest has a unique gift that enables her to see angels and demons. Next, on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I have two women here that move in such unusual gifts of the spirit, Donna De Silva and Teresa Leapshire. And we're going to have a demonstration of a very, very unique understanding of the invisible world. Now, Teresa, you found out many years later that as a child, you went through some very traumatic experiences. What did you go through?
I was had satanic ritual abuse, and then it went on to other issues of different kinds of child abuse.
Just and did you just like block it?
Totally repressed it, totally blocked it out.
Until, you hear about people like that.
Until I was 39 years old.
Huh.
And then at 39.
Excuse me, how did it affect you for those first, did it have an impact on your life those first 39 years?
Lots of fear, lots of anger, just actually trying to press through and function in life, just trying to survive, just trying to make it without successfully committing suicide, attempted several times.
So how did you remember what had occurred?
Something happened in a relationship with my husband, and I can't even really explain to you what happened except that God came in and totally opened the floodgate, and all the memories started coming. All the stuff that had been blocked and recessed had just, it was a flood, just started coming like crazy. My husband says that it was like having an epileptic for a wife, because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, because I had a lot of things that would trigger my memory, a lot of sounds, smells, that kind of thing, I would just regress back into a memory and have body memories and pictures and all kinds of things. I really can't explain to you to this day exactly what triggered the dam bursting.
But how did you get rid of it? That's the most important question.
How did I get rid of it? Jesus just came in and walked me through the memories, walked me through the healing process of dealing with all the emotions, coming to understand and forgive all of the people that were involved in what was going through, and then asking God to bless them.
The real you, Teresa, the real you, how are you different?
How am I different?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid. I believe I'm not crazy anymore.
Did you think you were crazy?
Oh, yeah. I always had thoughts that pretty soon they're going to find out who the real me is, and they're going to put me in a mental institution, and I'm going to be locked up forever. Or they're going to find out, you know, that I had done something awful, and, you know, nobody's going to want to talk to me. Nobody's going to want to have anything to do with me.
It was just thoughts that you had inside this turmoil.
Yeah, just turmoil. The biggest thing is in the one that the day, one of the big days of my rejoicing is that I was working at the time, and my boss came up behind me and spoke to me behind me, and I did not know he was there. Up to that point, I knew where everybody was in a 10-foot radius of me. I could even tell you what they were wearing. I had to be so constantly aware of where everybody was.
Why?
Because they were going to come and get me and do something
You're
bad
so
to
paranoid.
Me. I was so paranoid because people would always come out of nowhere and grab me and take me and do bad things.
They so never did that, but you thought they would, or they did it as a child.
They did it as a child, and so I just assumed, and everybody did it to me as a child, so I just assumed that when I was an adult, that they were just waiting for the right opportunity to get me because I wasn't protected.
You must have been pretty hopeless.
Yes.
Well, you said you attempted suicide,
yes.
or did you just think about it, or did you actually?
I I attempted it, yes. I didn't do it like cut my wrists or mm-hmm. like point a gun or anything like that. It would be like you'd be driving down the street and you'd go, oh, here's a semi, turn into the semi, or ooh, there's a tree, turn into the tree.
So your
when
boss...
I was a kid, I did it. I tried to throw myself in front of a train and things like that.
So your boss came up behind you and you realized...
I did not know he was there. That was a glorious day for me. It was really great.
It sounds like such an insignificant little victory, but it's not. It's major. And many of you have a lot of problems that you see the symptoms, you don't even know the causes, and I think you're going to get some keys. Tell me about this ministry you have, SOZO. What's SOZO mean?
SOZO is a Greek word that means saved, healed, and delivered. It's translated mostly saved. It's translated a few times healed and a couple of times delivered. But Jesus wants more for you than just salvation, just going to heaven. He wants the complete package for you. He wants you healed physically, emotionally, spiritually, and he wants you delivered from all the strongholds, all the things that you struggle with. It's not just fire insurance. It's not just going to heaven.
Carlos Anacondia, the one great evangelist from Argentina, says something along those lines.
Yeah, he says in the United States, we get about 6% of the people saved. And they have about 85 to 90% that get saved because they get them free. We don't get them free. We just get them saved. And that's what the issue of SOZO is Jesus wants more than just salvation. He wants you free. He wants to give you freedom.
Donna, tell me, I was reading in my notes about a woman that was a lesbian that you ministered to that also had a number of other troubles. Tell me about her and what was accomplished.
Well, for her, she didn't start out as a lesbian. So, you know, she became a lesbian through her husband introducing pornographic material to her that was of lesbian nature.
That's simple?
Yes.
Is how it happened?
That's how it happened.
So what's happening with people throughout the world as they're watching things on the internet and all the pornography that's going into the homes?
You're introducing a whole realm of the demonic. You're opening up.
So she picked up that spirit just by seeing pornographic material.
She acted upon what mm-hmm. she saw. Mm-hmm. And she said even as she would read it, she would know that it wasn't right, but there's curiosity. And she would further listen to the lie that, well, our relation in the bed is not good, so you must be a lesbian because you're not fulfilling my need as a man. And so there were lies that built on that. Mm-hmm. And as she built on those lies, she took them for what they were, and she acted out in a lesbian relationship.
So why did she come to you for help?
Because she knew it was sin. I mean, she knew that it was not the way God made her. And she came for help. Her marriage was in the pits. Her children were going to be taken away from her.
Well, now, some would say that a lesbian was born that way, but this is almost concrete, that it's a spiritual problem. And we'll be back in just a moment, and you're going to find out there is hope for the most hopeless situations. Be right back. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with two women that are so gifted in the Spirit of God, Donna Da Silva and Teresa Leipscher. And these women can see or hear into the invisible world and help people be free. For instance, they were helping a lesbian through supernatural help. Tell me a bit about that, Donna.
Well, I think the most important part of that is that men don't realize what importance they have in the family. And if you're a man out there, you need to know that you have a covering over your wife that is ordained by God. And what the man did in this is, prior to giving her the pornographic material, he took off his wedding ring and said, "You are failing me as a wife." And what he did in the spiritual realm is he disconnected his covering from his wife, and he targeted her for the spirit of lesbianism. Hmm. So I think for men, they need to know that they have to cover their wives, even if they don't know how to handle it, and just say, you know, "We cover you." And for the wives, they need to submit to that covering. And when he brought home the pornographic material, it just, she said, "Okay, well, this must be okay. It's from my husband." Mm-hmm. And it was not okay. And it just opened a total realm to where she would not have gone on her own.
She went into gambling and drinking also.
Yes.
So one thing leads to another.
It just opened up a whole world.
She knew that it was wrong. And mm-hmm. you get tormented. And the tormentors don't stop with just one little problem. They just throw on everything they can.
So tell me what you did for her.
Well, what we did is we brought her in. And she was desperate. She wanted free.
Is that important, by the way, to be desperate?
It's important to want to be free, mm-hmm. not necessarily desperate, but she was desperate, and she was about to lose everything that meant anything to her at all. And we just prayed her through, and in the one session that we had with her, she was broke free of the spiritual holds that those things had. And I called her pastor, who is walking her through, you know, making it through this, and he said she's not returned to any of the relationships, and she's not drinking, she's not gambling.
Tell me about the doors that people open up, unbeknownst to them, to problems. What would you call these doors?
Well, Fred Gruy calls them four doors, and I'll let Teresa.
The four doors are sexual sin, occult, hatred, and anger. And what they have found, it basically comes from Pablo Attari in Argentina, and what in all the work he's done in deliverance, he's found that all the symptoms that we all deal with boil down to these four doors. They either somebody else has opened or we have opened.
What do you mean somebody else has opened?
You know, it's amazing how many parents, we have even seen doors open when the mother has been carrying the child in the womb.
So these are like generational doors, and it passes through to the child.
Generational doors that have passed mm-hmm. through. The mother is worried, or there's fear, or there's even violence. The child, the mother's been beaten in violence, and the child has a spirit of violence or the spirit of death on them, just from even the womb. And so all those things always boil down to what they have found with these four doors.
Now, the occult, what, would you give some description of what would be under that thing?
The occult can be as easy as playing with Ouija boards, the magic eight balls, you know, that they even make mm-hmm. fun of, all the way up to satanic ritual abuse. So can be easy to...
Seances.
New Age.
Channeling stuff, New Age stuff. That's, or even any kind of manipulation that you do to get what you want, unless it comes by using the power of God, any kind of manipulation that you use to gain power from the demonic source mm-hmm. opens you up to the demonic realm, even if you're doing it innocently, like horoscopes. Yeah. Horoscopes will open you up to the demonic to come into your life.
Now, before this television show, we had you pray with a friend of mine, and tell me what you were doing as you were praying for Jonathan.
Well, Jonathan came to us and said that the issue he wanted us to pray him through was anxiety. And what we found is that the door, you think, wasn't fear and it wasn't overwork, but it really was a fact of having to prove himself to be sufficient out in the world. And that came from his mother not being at home and showing him value as a child. And so he carried on that instinct that I have to be good in the outside world. Mm-hmm. And we really prayed for, we had him forgive his mom, bless his mom, renounce the lie that he was not important, and to actually have him turn his heart back towards a home.
Now, how did you know this? I mean, you were just there for a few minutes. How did you know these things?
Well, Teresa gets to have a lot of fun, because she actually, when he sat down, she said, "Well, there's three things right here," so she can tell me there's three spirits here.
Now, how did you know?
I just see them.
You see them or feel them?
I see them in the spirit. I don't see them like I see you sitting here, mm-hmm. but I saw in my spirit that there was three spirits.
Now, out of curiosity, is this something you have to ask God for, or you go in a restaurant and you can see this? just between the three of us.
Yes, I walk into restaurants and see them.
Does this bother you?
Yes.
I would think so.
Yes, but because of my background, I got opened up into the demonic realm as a child, and the Lord has just continued to use that, and now that is being used for His glory, and not being used for why why Satan wanted to use it for.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can you pray for our viewers that they would forgive, ask them to even, you know, to forgive, break these generational curses over them, and help them and minister by the Spirit? Can you do that?
Donna can do that.
Both of you can. How's that? Both of them can. We'll be back in just a moment, and get ready. I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Let's find out who's on next week. Janie in the control room.
Sid, you're going to be interviewing two different people next week, and both of them had severe depression. One was a man who locked himself in his apartment for 6 months with no food, but was supernaturally sustained. And the other is a woman who was sexually taken advantage of by her psychologist. She was on lithium, but both were totally set free of very bad depression.
And there's lots of people with depression, and you're going to get supernatural help next week. But right now, you don't have to wait till next week. So, Donna, yeah. I want you to, as God instructs both of you and Teresa, I want you to help our viewers right now. Because I know both of you have a lot of compassion. You've been through it. Welcome to the human race. And so have they.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, we always start and we always ask the Holy Spirit to come. So we invite the Holy Spirit to come into your living room, into your place of work, wherever it is that you're listening and watching. We ask Him to come into your and just reveal to you the people that you need to forgive, people that have harmed you, because it's a door to the enemy. Unforgiveness will open you up. So, Father, as you reveal that to them, I ask that you would have them repeat after us, and just repeat after us right now. Say, I choose to forgive, and then put in the name of the person, for what they have done to me. And
excuse me, you know, if you do not do this right now, you are missing a supernatural moment in your life. So repeat these words after Donna. Do that again, Donna.
Okay. And we like to say, I choose, because forgiveness is a choice. So I choose to forgive, and you'll want to say the person's name, for what they have done to me. And you can start listing off as we're talking, just start listing off the things that they have taken me from my bed into their bed, and they have used me for their own satisfaction. It could be any of those things. Just say it as you go. And I break free. So you want to repeat, and I break free. I break free of all that has attached to me because of those abuses, hindrances, and harm done to me.
Break off the generational curses.
And repeat, if you... Just repeat after me. I break off.
I'm going to get in on this.
Yeah,
I break off
all generational curses.
All generational curses.
That have been passed down.
That have been passed down.
Either from my father's line.
Either from my father's line.
Or my mother's line.
Or my mother's line.
I command them.
I command them.
Off of me.
Off of me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And that's all there is to it.
If you want to bless.
For breaking those off, what we want to do now is we want to say God will continue to reveal to you who you need to forgive. Just keep short accounts daily. We do it in the shower because then you don't need tissue as you bawl. But in that, we want to bless you. We want to say, God, just go target these people for healing, for blessing. And we ask that you would open up the supernatural realm so that they can receive from the Lord Jesus.
Now, was that just a cosmetic prayer, or did that help people?
If they repeated it, it helped.
I believe that too. Yeah. And I believe we're going to get lots of letters of people that have had their life dramatically changed because these things are real and there's such authority and power in the name of Jesus.
I got the impression that there was probably several people that the generational curse, that's been a thought that had come through their mind, and they had been wondering about generational curses. And what Donna just walked them through actually broke generational curses off of them, just because God had been preparing them beforehand, that they had, you know, why did I have that thought about generational curse? What is that meaning? What does that mean? And the fact that what you guys just did took care of that.
Well, what can someone do that says, I understand I'm supposed to forgive, but they have done something so bad?
Well, you know, forgiveness is commanded of us. And forgiveness...
But I don't feel like it.
Well, you know what? Then I can't help you.
Well, no, I feel like it, but help me.
Because if we're not willing to forgive... we're not going to break free of the torments. And God loves us so much that He allows the torment to continue until we look up and say, okay, uncle, you know, like you're wrestling, help. Okay, I give up, I give up. And we have a pastor who was, there was a deliverance going on, and we don't do it this way, but they were screaming and yelling at this girl. And he walks up and he says, okay, stop, you guys, stop, what are you doing? And so he gets down by her and he goes, who do you need to forgive? Nobody! And he goes, okay, how about your dad? And he goes, I'll never forgive him. He goes, okay, then I can't help you. And he walks away. And the girl's banging her head against the wall. And she goes, wait, I'll do it. And he came back and very lovingly walked her through, I choose to forgive my dad for molesting me as a child. I choose to forgive my dad for all of these things. And she walked up free.
So what you're saying is, the question is, do you want to be free?
Right.
That is the question. That's the question. Do you want to be free? Now,
well, forgiveness also releases you. It doesn't say that that person did what they did was right or wrong. It releases you. And that's the important thing, because we can't deal with anybody else. All we can deal with is ourselves. And it releases you from the tormentors. It gives you the peace and the comfort that you need. It doesn't say that person's right or wrong.
And it doesn't get them off of God's hook.
Right.
Because God still will deal with what they did.
Now, you said something to me, Teresa, that very much intrigued me. I said, have you ever gone to heaven? You said, not the way most people have, but you go to the throne room. Explain that.
Part of my healing process had to be the fact that I had what we called a heal vision of Father God. That is, Father God is the one who's going to come in and protect me and take care of me. And I go to the throne room a lot. And I play underneath his robe and climb into his lap. And I do that quite a bit.
How do you feel when you do that?
It is great. It is so much fun. In fact, I pull the robe apart and stick my tongue out at all the people in the throne room. I have a ball.
you become like a little, you didn't have your childhood, and you become a little child in the throne room, am I right?
Yep. And he says that we are to become like children anyway, but I really become like a child.
I can tell. And how about you? Well, you know what is the most important thing? The Messiah did say, unless you become like a little child, you'll not even see the kingdom of heaven. I want you to see the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know him for yourself. I don't want you to just believe in him and do a cosmetic prayer and go to church and have greater intimacy with your denomination than you have with God. That's the whole purpose. Just because you've been turned off on the hypocrisy you've seen, don't get turned off on God. He's the only friend you have. Right now, there is an anointing, that means a presence of God, for you to come to know him. Do not miss your opportunity. Repeat this prayer, dear God, out loud. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And by his blood, I'm totally forgiven. I'm free. And now that I'm free, I make Jesus my Messiah and Lord. Come inside of me right now. Oh God, I want to be a child. I want to go up to your throne room. I want to play. I want to be free. Use me. There is a destiny on your life. If you could just see the way God loves you, you are loved. You know what? He's putting his arms right around you right now. He's embracing you. His love is pouring like a river into you. That's called shalom. That's his peace. And that is completing you in your spirit and in your soul and in your body. And you are going to have the joy and the hope that you didn't have before. And it's not so much by even what we've said or done. It's by the anointing of God, the presence of God. It's destroyed every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name.